Daf Lamed Dalet. So we got to the last six, 7 lines of Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. The Gemara is quoting something we had finished off with about storing bread and oil of Chumat Temeah versus wine. So Gemara says Gufa Malikin Bepas Ubeshemen Shel Chumah Shenit Meis. A person is allowed to use bread or a shemen that was Tameh Chumah Shel Shenit Meis, and you could burn with it. So the Gemara explains that Abai Amar Mishmei Dechizkiya V'Rav Amar Debei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Marta Amar Rav Huna Lo Shana Ela Pas. There's only chew of bread. Bread you're allowed to leave over, because remember we said there's no takala with bread because they store it in some place that makes the bread disgusting. No one's going to come to eat the Chuma Temeah. That's allowed. Aval, when it comes to Chiti Lo, when it comes to the wheat doesn't get so disgusting there. Shema Yavo Behen Lidei Takala. If you store the wheat somewhere, it's not going to be disgusting. It's possible a person may still eat it. So when it comes to Chita, that's Chuma Shenit Meis, that you have to get rid of. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan argues and says, Amar, Afilu Chita, even wheat you're allowed to leave over. There's no Chashash, Vamai, why is that allowed? Why can you leave over Chita? That's Chuma Shenit Meis. Necha Shedoma Asi Behen Lidei Takala. Shouldn't we be concerned that if you store the chita of Chuma Shenit Meis, a person might come to eat it while it's being stored? And the Gemara says, no. Kedam Rav Ashi says, in another case, we'll see which case he says. Rav Ashi says elsewhere, when it comes to Bishli Kasa Umi Sasa. What does Shli Kasa Umi Sasa mean? So Rashi says, Bishli Kasa Umi Asasa, in the top of Lama Dalet here, La'acha Shenitmu, after the chita of Chuma became Tameh, Shulkin, they cooked it in water, then they threw it within the other piles of wood. The hain nibasas, it became disgusting that way. So there's no concern of a person coming to eat it, because immediately they again cooked it and it was wet and moist and threw it in the wood. No one will touch it after that point or eat it after that point. Rav Huna, the first bin, felt still nonetheless. Chayish duma achale mikame delishlekinu obeshas shesholkan. Rav Huna was still concerned a person might eat the wheat prior to it being cooked, or while it's being cooked, and therefore, since there is a few minutes before you actually threw it into the wood and made it disgusting, that was enough of a concern for Rav Huna not to leave over the chita. Either way, this is what Rav Ashi said in another case. We'll see that case in a second. So Hachanami here as well, we're going to apply it to this case, Beshli Kasa Umisasa, that when you're allowed to leave the chita of Chumash and Inmes, when you cook it and throw it into a disgusting place. So Gemara wants to know now, 2 lines down on Lama Dalet Amud Aleph, V'heicha itmar de Rav Ashi, where did Rav Ashi say this initial statement, this initial kimta of Bishlikusa umisasa? Aha, the Amar of Abin Barav Acha, Amar of Yitzchak Abashol, Gavel Shabes Revi, Haya, V'haya Machaminlo, Chamin Bechitin, Shalchuma Shatimea, Lalushben Isabatara. So let's explain what's going on. I'll read the Gemara inside again. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, 3 lines down, V'hayu Machaminlo, Chamin Bechitin, Shalchuma Timea. She lokinosam mikwanim bezul. What would happen is the base Rebbe, who were not Kohanim, would buy Chuma rights from Kohanim of Chuma Shenitmes. Here Rashi assumes that a non-Kohen is allowed to benefit from Chuma Temeah. So they take the Chuma Temeah, buy it at a cheap price because it's very little value. You can't eat it, all you can do is burn it. So it's very cheap. They bought it from the Kohen. And then Rashi says, Lalush ben Isabatara, to knead the dough with. Kolomar afapi shereby ochel chulin b'tarahaya. Even though Rebbe was not a kohen, but he's machbid to always eat chulin as if it was tahor, he'd always be tahor. Lochayish duma nagu hanichitin tmeim beisa. So they'd use it to fuel the fire. They wouldn't use it to actually knead the bread, but they'd fuel the fire. It was cheap wood, and then they knead the dough. And he wasn't concerned that the chuma tmeya in the fire is going to touch the dough that he's baking, he's kneading rather in tara. That's Rashi's pshat. Toso says mechamin lochamin bechitin shel chuma. Omer Rabbeinu Tam to the Kohanim shall base Rebbe hayu osin. No, not referring to any member of base Rebbe. In the house of Rebbe, there were Kohanim who lived there as well. They worked there. They were in the house. But the Yisraelim says the Tosos to the Yisrael lo sharya ella hana sheno shakilu. The only benefit a Yisrael could get from Chuma Temeah is a type of benefit that won't get rid of it. Meaning throwing it in the fire is hana shakilu that gets rid of it. That's not allowed. What's a hana she'eino shakeli that they're allowed to benefit that won't get rid of the Chuma Temeah? Kamo Erev, Dim Arvin Li Yisrael, but Chuma. If you remember from the Sugis of Erevin, Yisrael is allowed to use Chuma to make an Erev. That's Hana, but it's not Hana Shokile. It just stays in an Erev, but it doesn't get through. You don't ruin the Chuma to Merit, but to use it actually as your firewood, that's not allowed. So he says it's only the Kohanim who lived in Beis Rabbi could benefit from this Chuma to Merit. So that's a very interesting machlokas, Rashi and Tosis. Either way, back inside the Gemara again, so Gavil Shabbos Rebbe, when they come to kneading the dough in the house of Rebbe, whether it's the Yisraelim Beis Rebbe or the Kohanim, how you mechamin lo chamin bechitin shel Chuma Tmeir, then heat the water up using Chuma Tmeir, lalush ben isa betara. So am I, why is that allowed? Nichash dilma asi ben lidei takala. So shouldn't they be concerned of using wheat? How could you use chita? Didn't we say before a chita shel Chuma Tmeir is aser to store? Shema asi ben lidei takala. So Amar Vashi, Vashi says, Bishlikasa umisasa, where they cooked it first and then throw it through it via Ben Ha'itzim, that's where he initiates his statement. So the Gemara says, here as well, when it came to our case, it tells the situation of Shlikasa umisasa. Gemara now says, Abai bar Abin, Rav Hananya bar Abin, I assume they're brothers, Tanu Chumos. They're learning Chumos together, Bei Rabba, in the house of the base magister Rabba. Pagubuhu Rava bar Masna. Then they encountered Rava bar Masna. So Amar Lahu Rava Bar Masna says to them, "My Armisa B'Chumos De Beimar. I see you guys are learning the Maseches Chumos. So what chiddush do you have?" Amulei, they said, "My Kashlecha. What questions do you have?" They flipped around the question. What do you have? What bothered you? Now he understood that sometimes when a person engages in a topic, he actually wants you to ask about his opinion on the topic. So he says, "So what are you learning in Chumos?" He says, "No, no. What are you learning in Chumos?" So they asked Rav Masna, "What are you learning in Chumos? So what's your question?" So he says, "Amar Lahu Tanan. It says in the Mishnah." Shtile chumos shenitmu. If you have some types of seeds of chuma that became tameh, v'shaslan, and you put them back in the ground, you zareh them back in the ground, that's a way of being tahorim milatameh. They're now tahor. They cannot be metame others. That's a way of cleansing zraim of chuma that became tameh. V'asur milechol, and you can't eat it. So at this point, Rashi points out, so they're tahor, but at the same time, there's still some level of tuma. That's why you can't eat it, because there's still chuma tameh. So it's a steer. Either they're tahor or they're tameh. So the Gemara quickly picks up on this and just fixes that. Gemara says, V'chima acher to tahorin milatame. If when you plant these chuma tameh seeds, they're tahor, then amai asurna milechel. So why can't you eat it anymore? It's now tahor. Of course you can eat it. It's now chuma tahora. So the Gemara says, no, amru lei hachi amar rabba. Rabba says, my asurin. What was that? Okay. My asurin, what's asur? Asurin lizarim. It's asur for a zar to eat. Why is asur for a zar to eat? Because it's still considered chuma tahora. It keeps its chaloshem of chuma. It goes from chuma tamea. When you plant it, it's now chuma tahora. So now it's tahor, but still retains its chaloshem of chuma, so a zar is not allowed to eat it. So that's what we learn from this mission in chumos. Now, so what's the problem? What's the question? So Gemara says, my kamashalam, what's the chiddush here? Gedulei chuma, chuma. If it's telling me that when you replant chuma and it grows further, that retained its status of chuma, well, we already know that. Tanina, we have it from another Mishnah that clearly states, gedulei chuma, chuma. So why repeat the same case of taking zraim of chuma tmeya and planting it, and now it's chuma tahora? It's basically the same yesod that gedulei chuma is chuma. Why repeat a Mishnah twice? So the Gemara says, the chitim, if you're going to tell me, it's telling us gidule gidulim, the growth upon growth. What that means is Rashi goes on to explain what the difference is. If you have an onion is a great example where an onion grows and then it grows more and then it grows more. It continues to have layers and layers and layers. Sometimes you grow something, it grows just like once. But other times that onions grow another bulb, and bulbs grow another bulb, and those are gedilim al-gedulim. If it's telling me that the gedilim al-gedulim are also truma, if that's the chiddush here, where we're learning from the replanting of the truma tamea, that we also know from another Mishnah. The Gemara says, v'chitema gedule gedulim is the chiddush. Umay kamashlan, what do we learn? Bedavar she'ein zarokala. That when it comes to a zera that doesn't get wiped out, meaning if it continues to grow and grow, this is why it doesn't end, it continues to blossom. So that's what we're telling us. We already know that. Hanami Tanina, we learned the Mishnah that says Tevel. Gidul. Now Tevel is a little bit tricky. I don't want to get involved in Tevel. But Tevel, Gidulav Mutarin, Bidavar Shazarukal. If you take Tevel, which is fruit that's chayv in Chumas Amisus, but you hadn't yet taken the Chumas Amisus for, you replant it. So the din is, it's mutter, it loses the status of Tevel, if it's a zera that's kala, meaning the seeds don't continue to reproduce more and more like onions. They just grow once, but they don't continue to have gidule gidulim. Aval, when it comes to bedavar she'ein zara kala, If it's something that the seeds don't wipe out, they continue to grow and blossom further and further, then afilu gidule gidulin asurin bachila, even by tevel, the gidule gidulin are asur. So if we have this din by tevel, which tevel is again hard to compare exactly right now, but if this is true of tevel, then certainly by chuma, gidule gidulin are asur. So again, let's backtrack for a second. When it comes to chuma, everybody agrees gidule chuma is asur. Tevel, gidule tevel is not asur, but gidule gidulim is asur by tevel. So if gidule gidulim is asur by tevel, kavachomer is going to be asur by chuma as well. Without getting to why that all is, because it's a little bit confusing. But either way, we have a mission that says, number one, gidule chuma is asur. Number two is gidule gidulim of chuma are also asur. So then the question is, what do you learn from this mission of shtile chuma shenitmu shashlan torim milatame? We already know that from the two previous missions we mentioned. So the Gemara says, ishtiku. So they had no answer. This was a very good question that Rava Bar Masa asked these two. And then Amalei Midash Milachabaha. So they said, Ramasa, did you, Rava Bar Masa, did you hear a chedesh answer for this question? What's your answer? So he said, Amalu, I'll tell you the answer. Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes answers, My Asur, what does it mean that they're Asur to eat the Chuma? Asur Lekohanim Hol V'Ifsulu Lehu Pesach Adas. It's a completely different chedesh here. That when it comes to Chuma, Chuma, the moment Chuma is not watched, not guarded, it is a Hesach Hadas, it's now puzzle for a Kohen to eat. A completely different din. Look at Rashi. Behesach Hadas, around the 15 narrow lines up. Behesach Hadas, kishenitma, mitchila, hesech daitamem, shuv milshamem. When they started, when it became Tameh, so then they stopped watching. They stopped paying attention because it's Tameh. V'nifsel mehesach Hadas, dechsev gavet Chuma, es mishmeresh chumosai, aved leishimur velotasech daitcha. So what happened is, Chuma Torah, you have to watch, you always have to guard. Shuma Temeah, there's no need to guard anymore. So there's a Hesach Hadas. And even though you plant it into the ground and it's Torah now, but since it had a Hesach Hadas, it's possible for a Kohen to eat because the special pasuk is Mishmeres Chumosai. But the moment there's a lack of Shmira, the moment there's a lack of Hesach Hadas, then it can't eat it. Even though it's no longer Torah anymore, it already has a shame psul of a Hesach Hadas. That's what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara wants to know, what exactly is the problem of Hesach Hadas? Hesach Hadas is a problem. A Kohen can eat it, but what is the real root of the problem of Hesach Hadas? The Gemara says there are really two opinions. Tanich leman damer, this all makes sense. Hesach Hadas, pasul, psul aguf, havi shapir. If Hesach Hadas is some type of psul in the chefza of the chuma, then this makes sense why it's asur to eat, that even if you replant it, you can't fix it. It's intrinsically pasul to the chuma. But if you assume Hesach Hadas is really just a chashash, it's not an intrinsic psul. It's not a psul b'guf. El man damar Hesach Hadas is psul tuma have, Michael Memer. What that means is psul tuma, not there's a real tuma. But if I didn't watch it, there's a chashash, maybe it became tame. But not that it's vade tame, but maybe it's tame. If you assume Hesach Hadas is a psul guf, that means it's vade a problem. There's something intrinsically wrong with it, there's no way to fix it. But if Hesach Hadas is because there might be a tuma, then we don't know. If Eliyahu Navi comes and tells us it's not tame, then the Kohen actually could talk eat it. So look at Rashi writes, last two narrow lines. Rashi says that El Alman Damar, Komasha Kachim, Nifsalan Hesach Hadas, that which Kachim and Chuma as well become possible because of a Hesach Hadas, because of lack of Shmira, Ein Elamishim Chashash Tumah. It's only because there's a concern that maybe it became Tameh in the interim. Shema Aite Hesich Daito Mishmirasim, because he wasn't watching Nagab Hen Tumah Ben Yodaya. So, Ma'ik Lameimar, what's the reason in that case do we say that the Kohen can't eat it? Rashi says, Ma'ik Lameimar, Honey, am I mifsili mishim chashash tuma? Ha filu tuma vadai shiben teheras shlosam. We said if the whole issue is tuma, so we said if it's tuma vadai, you could take chuma tumea seeds and replant it. It's tower. So certainly, if it's only a chashash tuma, if Hesach Hadas is only a chashash tuma, certainly it should get rid of any of the suffix. So why wouldn't it be allowed to be eaten? So now the Gemara is going to, before trying to answer all this, it's going to go into a discussion about machlokes whether Hesach Hadas is psul guf, or Hesach Hadas is simply a chashash tumah. So we're going to kind of come back to this afterwards, bring it back to our situation of replanting chuma shenitma. So who says, where's this machlokes of Hesach Hadas, whether it's a psul guf or it's a chashash tumah? So Gemara says, Ditmar, Hesach Hadas, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, psul tumah have, which is a chashash tumah, it's only a suffix. And Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Reish Lakish Amar, psul guf have. It's intrinsically psul, it's a psul in the chef, so nothing to do with tumah. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, psul tumah have, Shim Yavo Eliyovi Tarenu Shamin Lo. If Eliyahu Navi comes and says that's not Tameh, we trust him and a Kohen can eat it. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Omer Psua Guf, it's intrinsically possible. Shehave Shim Yavo Eliyahu Vitrenu Ein Shamulo. Even if he tells you it's not Tame, we don't listen to him because Hesach Adas has nothing to do with Tumah. It has to do with a Psul Guf. It says in the Pasuk, Es Mishmeres Mishmot Tremosai. If you don't have a Shmira, then it becomes a based on the Pasuk, Psul HaGuf. So Gemara now asks a question, Esve, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. He challenges Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, you really think it's Psul Guf? Rabbi Shmuel Benosha, Rabbi Yochanan Mebroka. Omer, he said, Lu Katan Haya, Bein Kevesh LeMizbeach, B'maravo SheKevesh. So there's an area, the way it worked was the ramp going up to the Mizbeach, there's a little area in between, there's a little space between the ramp and the Mizbeach. A little lul, like a little hole of some sort. And between the ramp and the Mizbeach again, on the western side, which was the area closer to the Kodesh Kodashim, that direction, so what they would do there, Shesham Hayu Zorkin Psule Chatas Ha'of. They throw, any time there'd be a Chatas Ha'of that would get a Psul, they throw it in that area. They'd stick in that area, that was like a little garbage dump for it. The Tuabar Tsurasam, but they leave it there only overnight, so it should lose its, we'll see in a second what that concern is, so it loses its Tsura, the Yotzin, the Beis HaSreifa. The way it worked was, if something is intrinsically Psul, it goes to the Beis HaSreifa right away. If something is not intrinsically possible, but there's a chashash of some sort, we have to let it wait overnight until it becomes nosar, leftover, and then nosar also requires a base reifa. But that which is only psul externally, we'll see examples in a second, but not intrinsically possible, you can't burn it to base reifa, so that's why somehow the psul chatas was only externally possible. We have to let it stay overnight for lina. Lina means leaving it overnight, and then tubar terasa means the tsura. The image of it, the appearance, it's like meat left overnight, gets disgusting. Now that's disgusting, it's nosar, then we throw it out. So that's what we have to do. So now the Gemara wants to figure out what exactly is the psul here. So Iyamis Bishmaf, it makes sense, the psul is tumehave. If what's the psul of a chatas, it's because the hesach adas, the guy just forgot about it, the coin forgot about it. So it's psul tumah, which means there's only chashash tumah, but not actually that there's a vade tumah. That's why you need a mishum hachi by ibur tzura. That's why you have to wait overnight before you actually burn it, because shema yovel Eliyahu v'yitrenu. Maybe before night, before sunset comes, maybe Eliyahu is going to come and say, this is actually tar, don't burn it. It's not worthy of being burnt. But Ella, if you say yamis psua guf, if you say that hesach adas means it's a psua guf, that intrinsically it's possible, so why have to wait overnight for it? It's already possible. You should throw it out to the base of Shreifa. There's not, no one, even if Eliyahu comes, he can't tell you something changed. So lama li ibur tzura. Why would you have to wait for it overnight to change form? Batan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us the following yisod? The zeh klal, this is the rule, going on to Amud Beis now. Kol she psula begufo, anything that becomes a psul in the basar itself, then the din is yisof miyad, you burn it right away. That which is a psul on the dam, or the bilim, if the blood becomes psul, or the bile becomes tummy of some sort, then, but there's nothing intrinsically psul on the basar, on the carbon itself, it's things that are external to the basar, then you have to tubar tsurasa. You have to wait overnight, and only after night could you then take the basar v'yotzin the base asreifa. So here as well, that if it's a case of the psul chathis, which is a case of hesach adas, it would only make sense to have to wait overnight if the psul hesach adas is one of a chashash tuma, that maybe it's not really tame. But if it's a psul guf, like you're saying, Reish Lakish, there's no need to wait anymore. You should burn it right away, just like any other psul begufo. And so the Gemara says, no. Amrilei hai tana, this is a das yachid. The tana that requires a psul chatas of hesach adas, that requires you waiting overnight, is a tana that holds in general. He argues on the statement. I mean, even though we hold that a psul guf is burnt beyond, there's opinion that even that which is a psul begufo requires to wait overnight. And that's the brisa that says, tana debei rabba bar avuahu, damar afilu pigal ton ibur tzur. Even pigal, where if the Kohen had in mind, to shech the animal, to bezerk the animal, the wrong zman, the wrong makom, that's a psul beguf. Nonetheless, he still requires waiting overnight. So here's well, even though hesach adas might be a psul beguf like Reish Lakish, you still have to wait overnight for ibur tzura, but that's a das yachid, so it's not really a question according to Reish Lakish. So Gemara asks another question. Esive nitma o nishinifsal habasar o shiatza chutz l'klayim. Let's say the basar, which is the carbon itself, becomes tameh, or it becomes pasul somehow, we'll see what the psul is, or it goes outside, it goes chutz. All of these, they're pasul of different ways. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yizok, you could go ahead and do zrika anyway, you could be zerk the dam, and Rashi says here, Rabbi Eliezer, four lines down from the top, Omer Yizok es adam, because Rabbi Eliezer l'tameh l'shitaso, damer miketet tzolin, he holds dam afa pishen basar. You're allowed to sprinkle the blood as long as the blood is tower, even though the basar is tameh, that he's not bothered by it. Rabbi Yeshua argues in the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lo Yizrok, you cannot sprinkle the blood unless the basar is also tahor. So that's a machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. But Mode, Rabbi Yeshua, Shim Zarek Kurta, if one does throw the Zrikas Dam, even though you shouldn't lechachila, Bidyeved, it's Kurta, Bidyeved is accepted because the tzitz is meratza on Tumas Basar and Tumas Dam. So fine, that's the Brice or the Mishnah. Gemara wants to know, so what's the psul? The Gemara listed initially, Nitma, O Nifsal, O Yatsa. So my Nifsal, Lab Hesachadas, does not mean it's puzzle with Hesachadas, that he wasn't watching over it. And if that's the case, Iyam Reb Bishamai makes sense, psul, Tuma, Have, Hainu de Meshachas, the Meratzi, Tzitz. Tzitz is not Meratzi on all types of psulim. A Tzitz, for example, is not Meratzi on Pigel, it's not Meratzi on Nosar, it's only Meratzi on Tuma. So how could a tzitz be meratza on a psul basar? What must be, the psul basar is hesach adas. And if hesach adas is predicated on a chashash tuma, so we get why the tzitz is meratza on such a psul. But Eli Yamas, if you say it's psul guf have, am I hurta? If hesach adas is a completely different type of psul, it's a different category, never do we find a tzitz is meratza on a hesach adas that's psul guf. So why would that work? Why would you say hurta b'dievet? So the Gemara says, no, my nifsal, what's nifsal? Not nifsal hesach adas, nifsal betivah yom. If a person is tivah yom, which means a person went to the mikvah, and he has to wait for Harav Shemesh, for the sunset, to complete his tira, he's called a tivah yom between the tvila and the shkia, that's called a tivah yom. If a tivah yom touches it, that basa becomes a pasul. So it's a type of tumah. So that's why, since it's a type of tumah, the tzitz is meratza on real tumah, and tzitz is meratza even on a low-level tumah of a tivah yom. So that's what nitma, or nifsal, is talking about nitma and tivah yom. So Gemara says, Yihachi, that's the case, Hainu Tame. Well, Tivol Yom, who hasn't yet experienced Harav Shemesh, he's still Tame. So that's exactly what it says. Nitma o Nifsal is now the same thing. Nitma is a Tumah, and Nifsal is Tivol Yom, which is a type of Tumah as well. And Gemara says, no, Trey Gavni Tame. There are two types of Tumas. There's one who's fully Tame, and a person who's partially Tame, and we're learning both these dinim regarding the Zrikas Dam, but regarding Hesach Adas, that was not on the radar at all. That was not part of this conversation. So Gemara now says, Kisalik Rabin, when Rabin came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amr de Shmaisa Kami de Yirmiya, he said this whole discussion when he went to from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. He returned back to Eretz Yisrael. And he said the statement, quoting Rabbi Yirmiya, who lived in Bavel. So they said in front of Rabbi Yirmiya, rather. Amar, he said back, Bavlai Tipshai, the Bavlaim are stupid. Mishum de Yosei Ba'ara de Chashucha, they live in a place that's dark, or deep, according to Rashi. Amrisan Shmaisa de Mechashchu. They say dark statements. In other words, they don't know what they're talking about. Bavel was a place that was very inferior. We have this statement in many places throughout Shas that the Torah Bavel was viewed as inferior, which itself is just an interesting discussion. If a Talmud Bavli in Torah Bavel was inferior, the pasuk used in pasuk in Eicha, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's machashakim kemeise olam. That's in place of darkness, like meise olam, like the people who are dead. So the learning there is very weak. So they ask all the question, if that's the case, why do we pass like the Bavli of the Yerushalmi? Other than a few exceptions, we always take the Bavli of the Yerushalmi. So the few different pshatim, so the Rif writes in the Meseches Erevin, he says, because since Bavli was written afterwards, we always pass in halacha kibasra, like the latest opinion, so Bavli's afterwards, we pass like the Bavli of the Yerushalmi. There's a Ritva that quotes from the Tshuvas Rambam. The Rambam says, no, the reason why Bavel, the learning was initially weaker, was because they were living amongst pogroms, running around from place to place. They couldn't have a yeshiva das to learn properly. But later on, when things settled down in Bavel, they were able to learn with a yeshiva das, and therefore, and eventually, Bavel became more superior to that of the Yerushalmi. But either way, this is a statement invoked oftentimes, that Bavli tipshai, mishim de yasi ba'ar de chashucha, and amrisan shmaisa de mechashuchu. So what's wrong? So lo shmi lecho, did not hear. So we're going back now to the statement of trying to replant the chuma shenitma. That was a beginning conversation that it becomes tower. So he says, how could that be? How could chuma shenitma become tower? Did you not hear hadr shloish shlakish mishrei derbi oshaya the meachag shenitmu hishikan v'charkach hikdishan tahorin v'hikdishan v'charkach hishikan tamem. What does that mean? I'll read this in a second one more time. Meachag, which is referring to Nisach HaMayim. Nisach HaMayim, they used to go down. There's a little spring near the base of Megdash, near the Har Bayis. They go down, they draw water up, and they'd use it for the Nisach HaMayim for all the days of Sukkot. And they'd sprinkle it. And the Mizbeach, the way it worked was, when you go up the ramp, on the left side, which is the western side, there are two little holes, two little drains. One was for the Nisach HaYayin every single day, which was a little bit bigger, and one was for Nisach HaMayim, which was smaller for the 7 days of Sukkot. Now, the reason why one was small, one was bigger, because since water is, What's
the viscosity?
Viscosity. It's looser, if you will. So, and the wine is thicker. So you want them to finish at the same time. So wine is a thicker drain because it goes down slower. The water goes down faster. So there's a small drain. So when you pour the wine water down the separate drains, they finish at the same time. So that's the din. So either way, they draw the water up. Now, what happens if the me'achag, when they drew the water up from the spring, it became tameh? How do you fix it? So this is all before they put into the klisharis. Right? They just drew the water. It's not kadosh yet, but it became tameh. So the din is, after it became tameh, you could be mashik it. You could have a kiss with the mikvah. And when it touches the mikvah, so then it's tahor now. And now that's tahor, you could put it in the klisharis and it's fine. But if you first put the water, tameh, into a klisharis, now it's kadosh water that's tameh, you can't change kedusha that's tameh by hashaka. So let's read that inside again. The Gemara says, Mei hachag, shenitmu, if they became tameh, you could hishikan, you could have it kiss the mikvah, it's tahor, then acharkach hektation, then put it into klisharis and makes it kadosh, that's tahor, and that works. But if your first hektation, if your first maktish, the mei chag gets already tameh, and then acharkach hishikan, that's tameh, and it doesn't work. You cannot, in other words, zuriya, which is another way of saying zuriya, is either planting seeds in the ground, where you also call, when you have the water, touch the mikvah, it's also called zuriya. Zuriya does not work on kudshim, that's tameh. So michti, let's understand this. Zuriya ninu, this is zuriya. Right, putting the water together, mechag, with the mikvah, is a type of zuriya. Mali hashikan v'acharka chakdishin. Mali hakdishin v'acharka chashikan. What's the difference? Why do we care whether you did klisharis first, made a kadosh first, and then tried doing hashaka, or hashaka, then hakdishin? Why would there be a distinction? So Alma, we see either way, even though we can't explain it, we're not explaining, we see nonetheless there's a distinction, that ein zuriya lehakdish, that zuriya does not work for hakdish. If you took the mechag, that's nitmu, and we're makdish it, and then put it into the zriya with the mikvah, that would not be effective. Hachanami here as well, ein zriya l'truma. So too on Amun Alf, when we said you took the seeds, the truma temeya, and you tried putting in the ground, it shouldn't work either. Again, we're equating zriya in the ground with the zriya of the mikvah. That was the question they said. So now, the Gemara said, Yosef Rav Dimi, the Kamar Le Lashmaisa, Rav Dimi was sitting down, he was chazering the sugi over, and Amar Le Abai asked him the following question. So this is, we seem to accept this din, that ein zriya lehekdesh, and ein zriya lechuma either. That's accepted halacha. So now after chazuring the sugya, he raised the following shayla. Hekdeshin bechli kamar. So this is true, that when you're makdish in the kli, it's a kedushas of guf to the water, if you will, and the zriya doesn't work anymore. But what about aval bepeh lo avid rabbanan ma'ala? But maybe when it comes to a person who only sanctified something with his mouth, but he didn't use a kli yet, maybe that case they didn't make such a chumrah, in which case maybe Zriya will be effective on even that which is only Kiddush Bepeh, which is a lower level than Kiddush Bekli. Odilma, perhaps, Abai suggests, maybe Bepeh Nami Avodah Rabbanan Ma'ala, or maybe they made this chumrah even by Kedushas Peh, when a person only articulated the Kedusha, even though there's no Kli Sharis, even then they said Zriya won't work on such a Kedusha that became Tamir. So what's the answer? Amrlei, so he responded back. Rabdimi said to Abaye, Zulo Shemati, I did not hear an answer to this particular question, but Kayotzi Ba Shemati, I heard something similar to it. What did I hear? Damar Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Anovim Shinitmu, Darchan, Vacharkach, Hekdeshan, Tehorin. If Hekdeshan, Vacharkach, Darchan, Temem. So what's going on here? Rabbi Yochanan says, if you have grapes that became tameh, again, anavim shenitmu, that became tameh, darchan, you could press them, v'chakach hekdeshim, and then be makdishit afterwards in tumah, in truma rather. If they're and they're tahor, it would work. If hekdeshim, if you first makdish them as truma, and then acharkach darchan, then you press them, tameh, it wouldn't work. So we're talking about truma here. Now truma, there's no kedushas kli by truma. You don't put truma in a kli to make a kadosh. You just have to say, this is truma. Zu truma. That's kedushas peh. So we see, v'ha navim kedushas peninu, v'afil hachi avid rabbanan ma'ala. In other words, even though I simply said that this is going to be truma, which is only kedushas peh, and nonetheless, I cannot be metarid afterwards, it's already the tumah stake sticks there. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, Yosef says, anavim kamras, you're talking about grapes? Hacha banavim shel truma askinan, kedushas peh ditu, kedushas kli damya. No. When we're talking about Chuma, the Kedushas Pev Chuma is the equivalent of Kedushas Kli by Kudshim. I mean, whenever you don't need Kedushas Kli, all you need is Kedushas Pev, that serves the same function. That takes it to the highest level Kedusha possibly could take to. So by Kudshim, normally Kudshim, you need a Kedusha of a Kli to take it to the highest level. But Chuma, the highest level is taken to by Kedushas Pev. So Kedusha's Pev Truma is the equivalent of Kedusha's Kli of Kadshim. So that's what it says. And then Kedusha's Pev Didu, Kedusha's Kli Damya, of a honey, the Bai Kli, Bepeh, Kli rather, Bepeh Lo Avid Rabban Mala. When initially the Gemara thought that grapes that were ultimately used for Nisach HaYayin. So if I, let's say, take grapes and I want to designate this for Nisach HaYayin, okay, they're designated on a very low level of Kedusha. But they're not really Nisach HaYayin until I actually put it into a Kli Sharis for it. So when it's at the stage of a Kedusha's Peh only, since it ultimately would get to a place of Kedusha's Kli, at the stage of Kedusha's Peh, they did not make a Mala, and if they did become Tamei, a Zriah would actually be effective for that which was only with Kedusha's Peh. Now the Gemara says, parenthetically, which is, I think the reason why maybe we brought this in, this discussion, I'm not entirely sure, we're going back to what we saw the other day about stepping on grapes that became tamei, about pachas pachas mikibetza. So Gemara says, wait a second, we just saw this case, the grapes that became tamei, you could step on them and there's no problem. Darcha and vafil tuva, you could squash and press the grapes as many as you want, there's no shear. Umi amar Rabbi Yochan hachid, does Rabbi Yochan himself agree that you're allowed to do this? Vaha amar Rabbi Yochan, we saw the other day, that a novim shinitmu dorchen pachas pachas mikabeta. You're only allowed to do it if they're less than a kabeta. But if it's more than a kabeta, so every time you press on it, the grapes are going to be matame the yayin, and that's going to make everything tame. So how does that work? You could press all these things on high volume. So he says, no, ibai seima, one suggestion is hachanami pachas pachas mikabeta, inechanami. When Yochanan allowed you to press these grapes here, he was talking about dafka pachas pachas mikabeta. But more than a kabeta would inechanami be a problem. And the second suggestion, and we'll finish with this, Ibai Seima, Denagulu Barishon, Havle Inusheni. Hacha Denagulu Barishoni, Havle Shlishi. Depends on the level of Tumah the person who's pressing it is. Being the case when Rabbi Yochanan required Pachas Pachas Mikabeta, that's where the guy, the Adam, was a Rishon. By him being a Rishon, he can make the food a Sheni. That's where he said Pachas Pachas Mikabeta. But this case here, Lama Dalma Beis, is where the Adam is a Sheni, and the Sheni cannot make the food a Shlishi Tumah. Therefore, there's no chashash of tumayir, and you don't have to do pachos, pachos mikabetz. Let me do a quick chazar. Now, this is a very challenging daf, a little bit esoteric. We start off by saying that when it came to chita, wheat, that whether or not, although pas of chuma, shenitmes, you could store, there's no concern of takala. We saw there's a machlokas about chita of chuma shenitmes, whether you have a concern or not concern. And that, even if you had no concern, it's only if you cooked it and shlikasa or misasa threw it amongst the etim, would it not be takala? But others argued, even in that case, it's still a takala concern when it comes to chita shenitmes. Then we had machlokas back and forth that learning the sugya of chumos, when it came to planting the seeds of chuma timea, that they become tahor. We discussed gedule chuma is chuma, and gedule chuma is also chuma. And then we spoke about what's the concern of eating chuma. It must be a concern of hesach adas because it lacks shmira. We had a machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish. What's the psul of hesach adas? Is it a chashash tuma, or is it somehow psul gufe, intrinsic concern? Nafkamina being with Eliyahu Navi comes back. Will we listen to him if he says tahor or not listen to him? We brought different rayas about leaving things overnight to prove the points back and forth. None of them were proofs in either direction. We spoke about the tzitzis maratza on tuma and tivol yom, and then we had the discussion, the statement that people who live in Bavel are tipshim because it's a place that's dark and low. And then we spoke about the mechag case of the tuma of the mechag, that hashakan works only before the kedusha, but after kedusha's kli hashaka doesn't work. So too by chuma angel hektish angel chuma. And then we discussed the Kedusha's Peh, whether Kedusha's Peh will also be subject to the same limitation of Ein Zriah. The Gemara says if Kedusha's Peh is the highest level, then Ein Zriah Lehekdesh. But if Kedusha's Peh is only one level to get to Kedusha's Kli, then we said there would be Zriah even to Hekdesh. Okay, we'll stop here and have a wonderful Shabbos and easy.